T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. I was just reading, there's a new business opening up in Houma, and it's an axe throwing business. It's called Southern Axe, and you can go with your friends, your family, or you can go by yourself if you're looking to do something. If you're bored, it's a place where you can go and you can throw axes. Hey, I feel like throwing some axes. I'm going to go to this place. It's called Southern Axe. And this guy and his wife decided to open up a business where people can go and just throw axes. You can call up your friend, family members, or you can say, hey, are you bored? You feel like doing something? What do you feel like doing? Oh, you feel like going and throw some axes? Well, you can go to a new place. It's called Southern Axe. Guy and his wife fell in love with the growing sport of throwing axes. Blaine Theriot is his name. That's the owner. And he says, quote, it's simple. Anybody can do it. It's kind of like bowling meets darts. He says it's once you figure out how to do it, it's fun. The owner of the place says it's just all about repetition once you find your rotation. And this place is opening up for people that are in the Houma Thibodeau area. And if you want to spend some quality time with your family or your friends, you go over there and you throw axes. Coleman, have you ever thrown axes?
I have. At the Renaissance Fair. Remember, we went to the Renaissance Festival and we dressed up like knights and kings and stuff like that. It was you, I, and a couple of friends.
On the North Shore. I remember that.
Yeah, we went to the Renaissance Fest, and there was some axe throwing out there I participated in. I was, I had some mead, though, so I don't think my axe was kind of wobbly, and it didn't really stick to the wood like I thought it would because, you know, I threw the axe after some mead.
It's going to have a bar and grill, too.
Oh, that's cool, too.
So, I mean, if you're hungry, you feel like throwing axes, you're thirsty. There's a new place in the Houma Thibodeau area. And it's called Southern Axe.
Ironically, I just bought an axe over the weekend. My neighbors was complaining, saying that the tree in my backyard, some of the leaves from that tree was falling into their gutters, and he wanted me to, you know, get rid of the tree so the leaves wouldn't fall in their gutter, so I went and bought an axe. But I didn't buy it to chop down a tree. I bought the axe to threaten my neighbors next time they came to my house and bothered me about some dumb stuff.
But I think the axe you bought is a little bit different than the axes that the people throw at Southern Axe.
Oh yeah, the axe I bought was a lot bigger.
The axe you bought is a fairly big axe.
Yeah, dude, you should have seen the looks at Home Depot when I was in line with the axe. Everybody was walking past me with weird eyes. Like, okay, that's a strange purchase. But it's like, well, it's not illegal. And they're like, well, you must be doing some heavy duty work tonight. Like, not really.
The axes you throw at this place, they're smaller. and you throw them against the wall.
Would that be considered an axe or a hatchet? I guess they wouldn't know because they're called Southern Axe, but I thought that the hatchet was the one that you kind of like throw when it spins. And
would you pay for your axe?
What did I pay? $30, $30?
Now these are raw, and the owner of this place opened it up down in Houma. He says axe throwing is just good stress relief. It's just something different. It's something new. Some people are kind of scared when they first get started, but when they throw it once or twice, they realize how fun and unscary it is. Southern Axe. And besides, for folks like you and I, we're just looking for something to do, looking for some fun. It will also host competitive events. It will be a World Axe Throwing League venue. A World Axe Throwing League.
Huh. I had no idea that existed.
It will have league nights for axe throwers looking to qualify for and compete in this sports tournament.
So we have to get a league together, call it Lillian Axe or something like that, and get some jerseys maybe. How would that work?
That's one option.
I hope there's no accidents. Ha ha, good job, Texter. That's Billy.
Yeah, and whether you have an axe to grind or not, this looks like a fun place to hang out. In addition to the actual building where you go in and you throw axes, Southern Axe has a 20-foot trailer available for rent. So patrons can throw axes in a safe space wherever they want. The mobile facility will be featured at the inaugural Bayou Terrebonne Boucherie. That'll happen on April 17th in downtown Houma. And that's going to be presented by the Bayou Terrebonne Distillers, Spit Liquor, and Page Insurance. All of those places are putting it on.
This text says, alcohol and sharp objects. Great combo.
Yeah, you know, when I saw there's a bar and grill involved with this. You know, the grill is one thing. You know, you could get hungry throwing axes, but you need does a bar and throwing axes go together?
I mean, I guess it can, as long as there's no, quote, like the text says, accidents. You know, we should get a team together and have Axe Body Spray sponsor us. That way we can go to the axe throwing competition at Southern Axe smelling like axe.
Well, you know, I think it's pretty wild. An axe throwing venue is coming to Houma. It's called Southern Axe, and you throw axes. It's got a bar and grill there. You got to make sure though you're stone cold sober. I wonder if you blow into something just to make sure before you get your axe.
I always try to come up with ideas to make more money, and they say one of the best things for capitalism is competition. So now that we know that Homer's having this axe-throwing venue that's about to start, it seems like it could be a popular thing. You and I should start a ninja star-throwing company right across the street from the axe-throwing people so they can throw their axes on one side of the street, and you and I can have a venue where people can throw ninja stars at trees on the other side and have some kind of capitalist competition to see who's better at throwing stuff.
Yeah, and I wonder, now that gambling is becoming more legal, I wonder if you can bet your axe. Well, anyways, I'm always up for new stuff. Well, once this place gets going, maybe we'll go down there. We'll have a bayou day or a bayou night down at Southern Axe in Houma. Oh, cool stuff. All right, we got a lot to get to on the show today. Hang out with us. The Saints just gave Jameis Winston a lot of money. Did you see that? But it didn't look like as much money, his contract, as Taysom Hill when Taysom Hill's was reported. But Taysom Hill isn't making any of that money. The contract extension that the Saints announced he was getting, $140 million. He's getting none of that. Pretty bizarre. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. So we've talked about the new district attorney in New Orleans, Jason Williams. We've talked about him a few times on the show because he's not going to be district attorney very long. He's got a federal indictment hanging over his head for being a tax cheat, a tax fraud. And when he was running for district attorney a couple of months ago in November, the voters of New Orleans knew that. He had been federally indicted because he, according to the feds, he lied about his income so he wouldn't have to pay as much in federal income taxes at his law firm. Him and one of his law partners, a woman, they've both been federally indicted, and he will be found guilty when his trial happens, because if you look at statistics, when people are federally indicted, it's like 98% of the time, or something like that, they're found guilty, because the feds, they've already done the work. They've already done all the investigating, and they once they federally indict you, you're done, because they've done all the work. They put all of the evidence in front of a grand jury, and then the grand jury decides if they're going to federally indict this person. And in the case of Jason Williams, this all went down while he was a New Orleans City Council member. He's also a lawyer, and he works at a law firm. And he wasn't the only one at his law firm that was investigated and then federally indicted for being a tax fraud. And even though that was hanging over his head, he ran for district attorney of Orleans Parish this past November, and he won. And I remember we talked about that before the election. We said, look, the guy who's the front runner, the New Orleans City Council member, Jason Williams, he's got a multi-count federal indictment hanging over his head. And he's running for district attorney, and wouldn't you know, he won. But he won't be district attorney very long, because once he's convicted of being a tax cheat, lying about his taxes, being a tax fraud, he's going to lose his job as district attorney of Orleans Parish, because you can't be a felon and be district attorney. It just can't be. And the ironic part about all of this is that the mayor of the city of New Orleans, Letaxa Cantrell, she hasn't paid her federal income taxes in a decade. She owes six figures. She owes over $100,000 to the IRS. So anyways, the reason I just brought this up again is because there was a story that came out over this past weekend on NOLA.com, how the new district attorney, Jason Williams, just raised his own pay 22%.
Cha-ching.
He now earns $185,000 a year after raising his own pay 22%.
Does he earn it, or do they just pay him that?
Well, that's what they pay him.
Okay.
His predecessor, Leon Canizero, made $152,500 a year, and that's what Jason Williams made the day he started this gig as district attorney of Orleans Parish. But evidently, that's not enough for him. So he raised his own pay 22%. So he went from making $152,500 a year to $185,000 a year. Coleman, wouldn't it be nice to have a job where you could just come into work one morning and say, you know what? I'm not making enough money. I feel like raising my pay 22%.
This is news to me. I didn't know that a lawyer or a district attorney had the power of the purse when it comes to finances, and they can tell other people what to do with his money. Like, I would like a 22% raise. I'm going to give it to myself, even though my profession is law, not accounting or whatever.
And not just that, he hasn't done anything yet. I mean, he walks in, okay, I'm the district attorney, which one of the first things I'm going to do? Well, I'm gonna raise my pay 22%, and then I'm gonna deal with the juvenile issue with juveniles. If every juvenile under 18 should be charged and treated as a juvenile, even if they're 17 years old and they have a long rap sheet. I mean, that's one of the first things he did.
Didn't he appear that case with the Saints guy that got shot at the stop sign, the road rage incident? Didn't he repeal that bag because they said it was a mistrial or something?
Well, he had to do that. You're talking about Will Smith,
yeah,
the former Saint defensive lineman. His murderer has to get a new trial because the United States Supreme Court decided that split jury decisions are no good. It should be a unanimous 12-0 jury decision that should send someone to jail. And when it came to, the man who killed the former Saint, Will Smith, his jury, I think it was 10-2, but they still sent him to prison for a long time. Louisiana and Oregon were the only two states left in the country where you didn't need a unanimous 12-0 jury decision to find someone guilty and send them to prison. And look, I agree with that. I think jury decisions should be unanimous if they're going to send somebody to prison for a long time. So that's why he's getting a new trial. And there are other people in the state of Louisiana and the state of Oregon that are going to get new trials, because the United States Supreme Court recently ruled that it needs to be a unanimous jury decision.
Well, apparently, if you're the district attorney of New Orleans, you don't need a unanimous decision to give yourself a 22% raise in money.
No. And what's interesting here is he gave himself a nice 22% pay raise. He's now making $185,000. He'll probably need that extra cash for legal fees when he's found guilty for being a tax fraud, which he is. But what's interesting is that now he just jumped up ahead of our tax cheat of a mayor, Letaxa Cantrell. She makes $174,920 a year, yet she doesn't pay federal income taxes on that money.
You know what I think we should do for public?
She doesn't pay her taxes.
When I hear the amount of money these politicians are getting paid.
Take a look around the city. Look at this city with the crime, the potholes in the streets, the blight everywhere. Look at this city and look what these people are robbing the taxpayers of New Orleans. Letaxa Cantrell making $174,920 a year. And now you've got the district attorney, Jason Williams, who now $152,500 a year wasn't enough. He needs to make $185,000 a year. And what do we get? Look around.
But that's what I was about to say. I don't think it's beyond the realm. I know it's probably never going to happen. But when I hear how much these public servants are getting paid, I think we should have cameras following them around to see where our money is actually going. Every time they clock in to go to work, there should be a camera on them 24/7, but as long as they're on a clock, I want to see what the mayor and what the district attorney is doing for this amount of money. And I think if they can have cameras in classrooms to see how teachers teach kids, they should have cameras everywhere a public servant is quote-unquote working, so we can see what our money is doing.
Just to watch us get robbed.
Yeah, pretty much. I want to see what the district attorney is doing for that much money.
You look at the money the mayor and the district attorney of the city of New Orleans make. My God. And they don't pay. They either don't pay taxes or they lie about how much money they make. They say they don't make as much money, so they don't have to. This is unbelievable. We are literally being robbed by tax cheats in the mayor position, in the district attorney position here in Orleans Parish, in the city of New Orleans. I just want to stand up when I'm done talking right now in a second. When I turn the microphone off, I'm going to walk over to the wall and I'm just going to bang my head against the wall about 15 times.
Well, let me get my phone ready to video record that if you do that.
So before he goes to jail, before he's convicted of being a tax cheat, Jason Williams, the district attorney of Orleans Parish, raised his pay 22%, and he's now making $185,000, a little bit more than our tax cheat of a mayor. My God, look at the money these people make. They are literally robbing the taxpayers of New Orleans. Here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. You see what's going on at the United States-Mexico border? Getting crazy over there. Lots of people are showing up. As a matter of fact, thousands of young Central Americans are trudging through Mexico towards the United States border. It sounds like the worst spring break ever. On Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And this weekend, two of the very cool venues, live music venues here in the city of New Orleans, are reopening for the first time in a year. They're going to have shows. Tipitina's. And you know, last week we had on the general manager of Tipitina's. Tank came on the show. And we were talking about reopening. This weekend, it's going to happen. For the first time in a year, Tipitina's is going to have live music inside. And not just Tipitina's, but the Howlin' Wolf in the Warehouse District. So you got Tipitina's uptown, and you got the Howlin' Wolf in the Warehouse District. They're going to open up Friday night for the first time in a year of live music. Pinch me. Ivan Neville is playing Tipitina's. He's going to do two limited capacity seated only piano sessions on Friday night.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because we said last week that even though live music is returning, that Mega doesn't want anybody singing. So I was thinking to myself, well, if we are going to have live music at these venues, are they going to have certain regulations for certain venues, or he's just doing, but now that you say he's just doing a piano session, that does make sense.
Yeah, even though we are kind of in phase three, as our mayor, Lataxa Cantrell, calls it, modified, her version of phase three, the coronavirus reopening. The rest of the state, the other 63 parishes outside of Orleans Parish, they're in phase three. That's it. There's no modified. There's no this. There's no that. They're all in phase three. Here in Orleans Parish, we're in Lataxa three. The modified stage three. And even though we're allowed now to have live music in bars again, there's an asterisk next to the live music. You can have live music, but you can't have a singer. You can have live music, but you can't have any wind-blown instruments. No trumpets, no saxophones, no tubas. So yeah, we can have live music, but no, there's no singing during that live music, no singers or no wind-blown instruments.
You can also listen to the music, but you can't enjoy it. You can't get up and dance. You can't sing along.
No dancing.
I wonder if you can snap your fingers and tap your feet, though. Does that count as dancing?
They're going to be watching you for that. They're going to be keeping an eye on you for that. Don't snap too loud.
No mosh pits, no head banging. You just got to sit there and listen and go, mmm.
Yeah, so even though we can go see live music in New Orleans, we have to sit down, we have to wear a mask, and we can't dance, we can't sing. I'm not sure about snapping and toe tapping. I'm looking at the rules for that. So Friday night, Tipitina's, the keyboardist and singer Ivan Neville, one of the Nevilles. Ivan will be playing two limited capacity seated only piano sessions Friday night. 7 o'clock is the first show. 9:30 is the second show. And is that the other thing? Still, even though we can have live music, do bars still have to close at 11?
I don't know if they have to close, but they can't serve alcohol at the 11.
Then that's closing. What's the point of, hey, let's go to the bar. Oh, they're still open, but they're not serving alcohol. Then why the hell are we going to the bar? So that's at Tipitina's Friday night. Also on Friday night at Howlin' Wolf in the Warehouse District, Rebirth Brass Band will reopen the Howlin' Wolf. Now, this has me scratching my head, because I've seen Rebirth Brass Band a ton of times, and there's brass in the Rebirth Brass Band. It's in their name, brass, the instruments that you blow into. So are they just going to be the Rebirth Band on Friday night at Howlin' Wolf if there are no wind-blown instruments allowed? Friday night at Howlin' Wolf, Rebirth Brass Band will reopen that place. They've used the Howlin' Wolf for the last year as a food distribution hub.
That makes sense.
Throughout the pandemic.
That makes sense. Because I've went to the Howlin' Wolf. I used to do shows over there, stand-up comedy.
Well, when you did your stand-up comedy, that was in the room, the small room.
The den, yes.
Behind the Howlin' Wolf, big stage.
Yeah, the den. Now, I went there recently at one of the lockdowns. I just went to go see what it was like. It was open. So I went in, and the back room where I did my comedy at was completely different, and now it makes sense. They were doing food storages, so that's why it was different when I looked at it.
So Friday night, the Rebirth Brass Band reopens the Howlin' Wolf. That show starts at 9:30. Tickets are $30, but must be purchased in groups of two or four. So don't think about going by yourself. Or don't think about grabbing two friends and the three of you going, because tickets are only sold by the pair. And it looks like all from what I understand, I think I know the Ivan Neville shows are sold out. Both of those shows sold out not long after tickets went on sale yesterday. And remember, it's only a limited amount of people. So it's not a lot of, it's not the normal 800 that you normally get at Tipitina's. You're only going to get a very, very small percentage of that. And I don't know how many tickets are left for the Howlin' Wolf show, but it's just good to, there can be no singing or wind-blown instruments on stage, and there can be no standing up, dancing, singing, moshing. It can be none of that in the crowd, but it's a start. It's a start to say live music will be in bars, will be in clubs, will be in venues this weekend in the city of New Orleans. It's literally like getting an artery to your heart cleared. Because I've made that analogy on this show, living in New Orleans for the last year with no bars open, no live music to go see it. I mean, that's one of the arteries of the heart of New Orleans, and it's been clogged for a year. So it's good that it's open.
It still feels funny. It still feels like I've been punished, and now my mom is allowing me to play a video game for the first time after a year. Like, oh, I can finally do something fun, Mom. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me and permitting me to do something that I've done, even though it wasn't my fault.
Thank you for giving us our rights back.
A little taste of our rights, not our full capacity of rights. Just a little taste. Here's some live music for you guys to enjoy.
Yeah, our rights. Our rights with a mask and without singing and wind-blown instruments and dancing and toe-tapping. So some good stuff. Hey, coming up next, free agency is getting going in the NFL. The Saints, they lost something big yesterday in free agency, but they signed something that they think is going to be big as well. Stay tuned for that coming up. Also on the show coming up, a couple of mothers have gotten in trouble. One of them for trying to make her daughter the homecoming queen. Wait till you hear this story. A mother rigged a homecoming queen deal so her daughter would win. Wait till you hear the details on that coming up as well. We have lots to do on the show this morning. Here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. The Saints made some news. Well, obviously, the last couple of days, everybody's been talking about Drew Brees retiring. So people are wondering, who will be the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints this fall? Well, right now there's two quarterbacks on the roster. And both of them just signed contract extensions. I'm going to get to the Taysom Hill contract extension in a minute because that's the definition of bizarre. Because we learned a couple of, the same day Drew Brees retired on Sunday, 2 days ago, about an hour after that, news broke that the Saints extended Taysom Hill's contract and gave him a four-year deal worth $140 million. And everybody started saying, huh, what? Because if you do the math, it's at $35 million a year, and I'm not that great in math. And Drew Brees never made $35 million in a year. How in God's name are they paying Taysom Hill $35 million a year? Well, they're not. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But yesterday, the Saints announced that they signed Jameis Winston to a one-year contract extension, and that deal is worth up to $12 million. So there's a bunch of little things in his contract if he plays a certain amount, if he could make up to $12 million. And Sean Payton said that he wants to see Jameis Winston battle and fight for that starting job.
I do too. That's the best way to do it.
Well, from what it looks like now, Coleman, it looks like they're gonna start next year with Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill as their quarterbacks. The last couple of years, it was Drew Brees and Taysom Hill would come in every once in a while. I guess if Jameis Winston looks good enough, Sean Payton's going to start Jameis Winston and play him the majority of the time, but have Taysom Hill come in, much like he did the last 2 years, but maybe even a little bit more. Taysom Hill will come in with the Taysom package, the T-Pack.
They do the little trick plays that they need.
Yeah, because Taysom Hill has not proven himself as a starting quarterback in the NFL yet, at least not as a drop-back passer. I mean, we all know Taysom Hill can run, but starting quarterbacks in the NFL can't last very long if they run a lot, because their body takes a pounding. And we all know Sean Payton wants a drop back passer like he's had with Drew Brees, the prototypical drop back passer. That's more Jameis Winston than it is Taysom Hill. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago when Jameis Winston was the number one overall pick in the NFL draft by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he didn't live up to that pick. He didn't. And what was interesting is he was the starter in Tampa for, what, 5 years? And then the year, and they never won anything. And then the year he leaves, they win the Super Bowl. And Tom Brady came in. Well, this is going to be a second chance for Jameis Winston. We know he's got talent. We know he can throw the ball. We'll see if he can succeed with the Saints and with Taysom Hill coming in a little bit more than he did over the last couple of years, but doing his thing as well. Here's
See, the thing with Jameis, though, I'm worried about his psychological makeup. Think about it. He spent 5 years in Tampa. The year he leaves, Tom Brady takes over, wins the Super Bowl. Now he has to follow Drew Brees, maybe one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So the idea that he has to live up to the names that he's been around, Tom Brady and Drew Brees, is he psychologically up for the task to carry a team like that? After what happened in Tampa Bay and how he performed there and seeing what Tom Brady could do if he is a decent quarterback and now having to follow the most pass, you know, throwing yards as quarterback of all time.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, hopefully he's grown up too. I mean, because it wasn't that long ago where he got in trouble for grabbing a female Uber driver. And if you go back to his college days, he got in all kinds of trouble for sexual deviance with women and shoplifting as well. But hopefully he has matured and he has grown up. And so his contract is worth up to $12 million. Taysom Hill, even though he signed a four-year, $140 million extension, he's not making most of that. It's all voidable. Those numbers aren't real, at least not in the same terms as a typical NFL contract. Monopoly money has the same value as the contract Taysom Hill just signed. He will not play for anything near that amount of money. They did that so they could save $7.5 million on next year's salary cap. So even though he signed a contract for 4 years and $140 million, he's not making anything near that. That it is a mirage. They signed Teddy Bridgewater a few years ago to a similar deal. So even though it says he's making $35 million a year, he's not making anything close to that. Extremely bizarre. And if you're not good in math like me, you're really not good when you're looking at this contract because you're like, huh? But it's basically they signed him to Monopoly money. That's what they signed Taysom Hill to. I mean, he's still going to make a few million a year, but he's not making anything near $35 million a year.
You know what is real, though? $1,000 every hour.
Yes. So we're every hour, we're giving you the chance to win $1,000 starting right now. Just listen for Coleman. Well, you know, right? The keyword, and then you text us. That's now, here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Have you done your taxes yet? Coleman, have you done your taxes yet?
No, I'm not looking forward to giving the government more of my money.
So you wait right till the end?
Yeah, around April.
Yeah, that's what you do. It is tax time, and phone scammers are posing as IRS agents, and they have swindled thousands of Americans out of millions of dollars. Victims say the fake IRS agents are so aggressive and abusive, they seem like real IRS agents. Be careful out there. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund hanging. Over with you. Look, it goes without saying, every parent wants the best for their children. But would you break the law for your child, to help your child? Would you cheat to help your child? Do you know anyone who would do either of those things to help their child? Wait to hear this story. This high school girl and her mother, who, by the way, is an assistant principal, were both recently arrested for fixing the high school girl's homecoming queen situation, the homecoming queen race. Now, this happened in Florida. Okay, that makes sense. We've always heard of Florida man stories. Well, here's a not only a Florida woman, a Florida mother, a Florida principal and her daughter arrested for hacking student accounts to cast homecoming votes. A Pensacola, Florida teenage girl and her mother, an elementary school assistant principal, were recently arrested for hacking hundreds of student accounts to fraudulently vote for the girl as homecoming queen. 50-year-old Laura Rose Carroll and her 17-year-old daughter, Emily Rose Grover, at least they got the same middle name, they have each been charged with offenses against computers, unlawful use of a two-way communications device, criminal use of personally identifiable information, and conspiracy to commit these offenses.
They got charged with crimes I didn't even know existed.
Well, you never ran for homecoming queen, Coleman.
I have not.
An investigation by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement began this past November when the Escambia County School District reported that hundreds of student accounts had been illegally accessed. So investigators determined that Ms. Carroll, the mother, who's an assistant principal at Bellevue Elementary School, and her daughter, a student at Tate High School, had accessed the student accounts. I mean, this is a big time investigation. You know, you got people breaking into high school students' personal accounts online, and then when the investigators started looking, they realized it was the same mother/daughter who were breaking into these students' accounts.
Yeah, this was a mother-daughter tandem. That means both of them were in on this. They talked about it and they agreed to do it, and then they executed it without the mother saying, nah, maybe this is not a good idea, or the daughter saying, I don't know, mom, maybe we shouldn't do this. Both of them thought, yes, this is a great idea. Instead of allowing people to vote me homecoming queen, let's rig the votes to ensure.
They both thought the daughter being homecoming queen was better than abiding by the law.
Right. It makes me wonder, how important is the homecoming queen in this Florida district?
The investigation came after hundreds of votes for Tate High School's homecoming court were flagged as fraudulent, with nearly 120 votes coming from the same IP address within a short period of time. Investigators linked unauthorized access to those accounts to the mother's cell phone, as well as computers associated with the mother's home address, with nearly 250 votes having been cast for the homecoming court. Investigators said multiple students reported that the student had described using her mother's account to cast votes in her favor. So the daughter who the mother rigged the homecoming queen gig for is walking around the high school telling people that, yeah, her mother really is helping her out here with this homecoming queen gig.
Not a very good mother. You know, you try to teach your kids to be better human beings. At least you try, try your best. If you fail, just try again. You know, don't give up. But this mother is teaching her kid, oh, if you can't win, just cheat. We'll just rig it and make you win.
I couldn't imagine telling my child that. I couldn't imagine my parents doing that for me. I played sports when I was a kid. I did a lot of things. If I won, I won. My dad gave me a high five. If I lost, my father said, hey, you got beat. Go work harder to do whatever you have to do to win. But the last thing in the world they would ever tell me to do is cheat.
It makes me wonder how the 17-year-old girl, she really must have felt that this was important enough to hack and do illegal stuff to win. But I wonder how much it sucked for her when she hacked into the system and saw how many people didn't vote for her. Like, man, she didn't vote for me, or she didn't vote for me, or I thought she was my friend. She didn't vote for me. I wonder when she looked at all the people that didn't vote for her. I wonder if that hurt her somewhere in her heart. Like, oh, Jessica, I thought you were cool, but you voted for that other biatch. Why didn't you vote for me? So she had to go back and change all of these people's votes.
And how does this make her and her mother look at the daughter's high school?
Well, they look arrested.
Well, yeah, they got arrested.
That's how they look. However they look is, I wonder if the homecoming pitch is going to be a mugshot now.
The mother was arrested. I told you all the charges. Her bond was set at $8,500. Wow. That's a lot of homecoming crowns. I mean, this should go without saying. Wouldn't you rather lose honestly than win fraudulently in anything in life? Well, maybe not the lottery. Somebody knows how to fix that.
It's stuff like this. Next year, they're going to have homecoming participation trophies. Everybody's the homecoming queen. Just avoid stupid stuff like this.
How is that girl even going to be able to walk back through the hallways of that high school? Everybody's probably going to be looking at her, pointing at her, whispering. Hey, there's the girl whose mother, yeah, her mother's the assistant principal at that elementary school. Yeah, those two, they rigged the homecoming because they wanted her to be homecoming queen. Wow. I've seen stories in Texas about cheerleaders' mothers going after rival cheerleaders. I've seen stories like that. I mean, that takes a sick mentality. Again, everybody wants the best for their child. And their children, everybody. But this, having your daughter become homecoming queen because you fixed it as a parent, how could you sleep at night? How could you even look at yourself in the mirror? You cheat. Well, anyways, hopefully a lesson will be learned here by the daughter. I think it's too late for the mother. An assistant principal at a school, and this is what she's doing. I don't think she's going to be assistant principal very long, much longer at that elementary school. Well, anyways, I just thought I couldn't believe that story. And when I saw this one, it just made me think of some Texas cheerleaders' mothers who went after their cheerleader daughters' rival cheerleaders, so they could maybe rise a little bit in the cheerleading ranks. But this, the homecoming rig, the homecoming fix, boy, this is right there with that. All right, coming up next, one of the greatest, most underrated sports figures in America died this past weekend. I'm going to talk a little about him coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And this past weekend, well, did you see who died? at the much too young age of 66 years old, one of the greatest boxers I ever saw and the boxing world ever saw, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, died at the age of 66. Hagler, he really was marvelous, by the way. Hagler, without a doubt, was as good as it gets when it comes to boxers, professional boxers. You know, boxing now isn't like it used to be. I think a lot of that has to do with the UFC, mixed martial arts. It's taken a lot away from boxing. But when Hagler was fighting back in the 80s, and he was a middleweight. There were a few middleweights around when he was fighting in the 80s, and they fought each other. You had Hagler, you had Sugar Ray Leonard, you had Roberto Duran, you had Thomas Hitman Hearns. You know, the Sugar Ray Leonard, one of the Sugar Ray Leonard, the most famous Sugar Ray Leonard Roberto Duran fights was here in New Orleans in the Superdome. That was the No Mas fight. That's when Roberto Duran said, No Mas, I'm done. I'm out. Por favor. But those guys used to fight each other regularly. I mean, boxing was something back then. That's when I was in high school. And when you talk about Marvin Hagler, the one fight that you talk about the most is the fight against Thomas Hitman Hearns, which many people say was the greatest fight ever. Now, look, there may have been some boxing matches that were as good as Hagler-Hearns, but that fight was the best fight I ever saw. And the Hagler-Hearns fight happened my senior year in high school. And I remember going to a friend's house because his father got the fight. It was before pay-per-view. Cable was in its infancy. But they had back then, they called it closed-circuit television, and you could still buy the fight on closed-circuit television. And so I remember a bunch of my friends, we all went over to this one friend's house. And in the third round, Hagler knocked him out. It was the greatest 2.5 rounds of boxing that we had ever seen in our lives at that point. Remember, I was in high school. I remember the next day walking around school talking, did you see that last night? Did you see that? As a matter of fact, round one of that fight has been called the greatest round ever. And I've got that on our website. Just put that up there at Bayou957.com. If you got 3 minutes to spare and you want to see what a lot of people have called the greatest round of boxing in the history of the sport, it's on our website right now at Bayou957.com.
Well, just like Cable, I was also in my infancy when this fight was released on closed circuit television, so I didn't get a chance to see it. So you were telling me about it off the air, and you told me to go to the website and check out the first round, and you are absolutely correct. There was no defense in that first round whatsoever. It was just blow after blow, haymaker. They were just punches thrown. I don't think any of them tried to shoot a block. It was just punch, punch, punch. And you don't see boxing like that anymore in this day and age because, you know, now it's more technical and scientific. But back then, they must have hated each other. They wanted to beat the hell out of each other.
As Coleman, as soon as the bell rang, they charged at each other. And Hagler throws the first one. And then they just, I mean, it was nuts. Yeah, because usually when you watch a boxing match, it's about stamina. You don't want to come out like these guys came out from the first second and just start throwing haymakers because you're not going to last very long. And this fight didn't last very long. Hagler knocked him out in the third round.
Yeah, it wasn't technical, but it was exciting.
But Marvin Hagler, he won that fight. He comes back a couple of years later. He gets robbed against Sugar Ray Leonard, and then he quit, and he never returned. He beat Leonard, and even Leonard told him in his ear, he goes, "You won that fight." But the refs, the fix was in for Sugar Ray Leonard. But R.I.P. Marvelous Marvin Hagler, who died at the age of 66 this past weekend. $1,000. Every hour, we're giving it away here on Bayou 95.7. Your time is now. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. I always like to continue to learn things the older that I get. And we try to learn things on this radio show all the time. I just learned something, Coleman.
I learned something today.
Do you know why yellow school buses have the black strips along the side?
Well, I went to art class, and it would seem that yellow and black are the two most contrasting colors you can have. That's why caution tape is black and yellow. That's why my favorite colors are black and yellow, because it's the most identifiable two color palettes together. Is that correct?
It, even though it does look cool, that's not the reason why nearly every yellow school bus has a series of black stripes along the side of it. One line marks the floor of the bus. Another black line marks the bottom of the seats. And the top line shows the top of the seats. If the bus, God forbid, ever gets in an accident, those black lines on the side of the yellow school bus show firefighters where to cut.
Ah, did not. That's pretty innovative.
Did you know that?
I did not know that, no.
I didn't know that until this morning either. I was thinking like you, yeah, the black looks cool on the yellow. But no, there's a reason why there are not only the black stripes on the side of the yellow school bus, but why they are where they are. And that's why.
I've learned something today. How about that?
You never get too old to learn. And, you know, they always say that old cliche, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, come on. Let's bust that cliche. Let's be cliche busters. We always try to learn things on this damn radio show. That's why school buses look the way they do. Coming up next on the show. It's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And look, when you have to call the police on yourself and then you get arrested, that's how you end up on our segment, The Dumbest Thing I Read All Morning. Wait till you hear this next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And it's that time of our gig where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Teenager gets stuck breaking into building, has to call 911 to get rescued, and then arrested.
911, what's your emergency?
This happened in Mississippi, Coleman.
Oh, it's not Florida this time?
No, it's not Florida. It's Mississippi. Our next-door neighbor's over here. Authorities say a Mississippi teenager who called 911 to report that he was stuck in the ceiling of an elementary school was arrested after being rescued by police and firefighters.
So why in the hell was a teenager in a ceiling of an elementary school, John?
He was breaking in, Coleman.
See, something about that still doesn't make sense to me. Why would anybody want to break into school? I remember being a teenager, and I was trying to escape school.
That's a very solid point. It's a valid point. 19-year-old Willie Dobbins.
You idiot.
Of Hattiesburg. He telephoned dispatchers, 911, Sunday night to say that he was suspended from inside the cafeteria ceiling at Fraser Elementary School in Natchez.
So was he breaking in to get some cafeteria food? He was hungry?
Well, he was close to the cafeteria. The police chief says the teenager, but he's 19. Are you still a teen at night? I guess technically you are, but I mean, come on. He's acting more like a 13-year-old than a 19-year-old. The police chief says that Willie appeared to be trying to break in through the roof where money is kept. And he got stuck.
All right, so are we saying that there's money kept in the roof of the cafeteria, or he was trying to get in through the roof so he can get to the cafeteria?
Yes. Yeah, they don't keep money in the roof of the elementary school there in Mississippi.
That's how it sounded like he appeared to be going to the roof where the money is kept. Like, oh.
Evidently, the money was kept in the room underneath that particular section of roof.
I see what you're saying. Okay. I thought they were saying they kept the money in the roof, which wouldn't be a bad place to hide money if you're really thinking about it, but.
But, you know, we do this segment every morning, and there's never a lack of stories for the dumbest thing I read all morning. But when you're breaking into some place and you get stuck and you have to call 911 to help come get you out, to rescue you, and then they arrest you because you were breaking into the building.
He was breaking into an elementary school. So that leads me to believe for him to know at 19 years old that there was money in his cafeteria, he might be held back. He might still be going to that elementary school. He might be a 19-year-old guy saying, like, he was in the cafeteria one day getting his free lunch. He's like, man, that's where they keep the money at. Well, when there's no school this weekend, I'm going to break into the cafeteria and steal the money.
Well, he had a plan.
I would have never thought of that. I'll be honest with you. To break into school.
Evidently, I guess that cafeteria, that public elementary school cafeteria, does really well when it comes to making some money. And so Willie Dobbins wanted to break in and go get some, but the problem is he got stuck in the roof and he had a call. Good thing he had a cell phone on him, and he had to call 911. He called the cops on himself.
He'd have done better just waiting overnight for school to open on Monday and somebody just let him down the cafeteria. What was his escape plan? Let's say he actually succeeded and got through the ceiling to get the money. Was he going to try to go back up through the ceiling and get out?
Maybe out the door or out a window. Or maybe he hadn't thought that far in advance.
That's probably the most logical possibility.
Well, the 19-year-old in Mississippi who was breaking into the elementary school to steal some money, and he got stuck in the roof, and he had to call 911. He had to call the cops on himself so they could come and rescue him and then arrest him. My God, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning. On Bayou
9. Wait, John.
What's that?
You would happen to have a mugshot where I can see this guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got his mugshot. We've got the story. It's on our website at bayou957.com. That's right next to what many people call the greatest round of boxing ever. Round one of Hagler Hearns, because Marvin Hagler, the marvelous one, died this past weekend. There's a lot of entertaining stuff, interesting stuff on our website. Go check it out at bayou957.com.